Amen. I don't believe I've heard that song before. Very, very good. And we must reach them while we can. Well, we've enjoyed the conference so far, haven't you? Brother Wido's preaching. And just encourage you, if you've missed tonight, to go on the internet and watch it. And it will be a real blessing to you. Come on, Brother Wido.
All right. Can you hear me now? Amen. All right. Let's sing our little song tonight. Y'all help me out now. Amen. Here we go. If God gave you 10 apples and said, return to me 1/10 of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but one old core, would you give God that one old core and then ask Him for more? Don't give God the core. Shake your head. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Good. I had a little boy come ask me tonight. He said, are we going to sing that song tonight? And I said, yeah, we'll sing it. Amen. So that's good. Got to show you the picture of my five little grandchildren. Amen. And I thank God for my family. Pastor had to ask me today about my wife, and he got me missing her even more. And I tell you, that's a blessing. We've got five on the ground, and we've got two more on the way. Amen. And both of my daughters are expecting. My baby daughter got married back in May, Jenna, and she's a blessing. I love all my family. And there's my wife. Amen. I've got pictures. Some people put roses in their Bibles. I've got pictures in mine. Amen. And I love my family and thank God for them. And we're looking forward to getting back home soon. And you pray for us in the morning. We'll be going out to Crown Southwest and preaching a chapel out there and looking forward to that. And you pray for us. We did graduate there from the Norris Bible Baptist Institute in 1991. And we thank the Lord for the training we received there. And also from my father, who pastored for many years and mentored us. Amen. Taught us everything he knows and all of that good stuff. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And well, I'll tell you, I'm a full gospel preacher tonight. Amen. I guarantee you, I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, but I'm a full gospel preacher because I preach the gospel. Amen. I'm full of fish tonight and all that other good stuff. Thank you, those who prepared all the good stuff. And boy, we've had a good time this week with the missionaries. We have some wonderful missionary families here, and we love them. And I tell you, it's worth the price of admission just to get to see all the presentations from the missionaries. I've enjoyed the just getting to go on these trips to these different countries, okay, and to see, and your eye affecting your heart, and what a great blessing. And I appreciate the missionaries that have surrendered their lives to the Lord to go to these distant lands and tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a blessing is that we can have a part in it. Amen. And I'll tell you, I love this mission stuff, and it's in my heart, and I hope it's in your heart. I really do. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And, you know, we can say, be you warmed and filled, and God bless you, and pat them on the back, but that doesn't get the job done, does it? And no, it sure doesn't. So anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, I want you to notice this, great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, that just means they were extremely poor. The poor folks called them poor. Deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now you kind of think about that, great trial of affliction, and you talk about joy, you talk about deep poverty, and abounded under the riches of their liberality. I mean, they continued to give, and it really doesn't make sense them doing that. You know, you'd think if you were in deep poverty and in great affliction, you'd be whining, you'd be griping, you'd be complaining, you'd be bellyaching, you know, about everything. But they didn't do that. And it's a very powerful testimony. Verse number 3 says, and again, they gave, though they were in great trial of affliction and deep poverty, they continued to give. And their giving brought great joy, okay? And they gave by faith. Verse number 3 says, for to their power, and by the way, it's in my power to give you everything that I have in my possession. And they gave to their power. It says, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. So after they had given all that they could give, they still kind of had this holy dissatisfaction. They wanted to do more. Amen. They just wanted to do more. And you know, when I see the presentations and these missionaries and rubbing elbows with missionaries, it just kind of, I don't know what it does to you, but I'd love to do a little more. Amen. And that's what it's all about here. And it says, and beyond their power, okay? And they got into the realm of giving by faith and God giving through them what He would not give to them. And it says they were willing of themselves. And again, this faith promise offering, it's a voluntary offering, okay? I mean, you give it willingly. We're not trying to browbeat you or make you feel bad or, you know, we've wept this week and cried a little bit, but you know, it's not, we're not trying to even mess with your emotions and tell you a bunch of tear-jerking stories. It's way more than that. It goes way beyond that, okay? In your mind and in your heart, if you could picture Uruguayans, or how do you say it? Is that close enough? If you could picture little Uruguayans, if I'm saying that right, if you could picture men and women over there in that country that one day at the judgment seat of Christ would have been saved by the grace of God because we gave money so that a family, a young couple, could take the gospel to a place that many of us will never go to. Are you listening to me? And tell those people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's big time Christianity. And nobody ought to have to twist our arms and beat us over the head or, you know, it's not like that. We ought to give willingly, okay? And I like what verse number 4 says. It says, in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And boy, what a blessing it is to join up with these missionaries and minister with them through our prayers and through our giving. And this they did, verse number 5, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now this is critical right here, okay? And really honestly, you know, reading your Bible and praying and walking with the Lord and passing out tracts and giving tithes and giving to missions, none of this is a problem if you give Him yourself. But you know what? I think a lot of us have trusted Him with our souls, but we haven't given our bodies. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, you know, we've gotten so far away from reasonable Christianity, when somebody does what they ought to be doing, we say, wow, he's on fire, or she's on fire. Hey, we all ought to be on fire. Amen? We've just gotten so far away from that, that we think we kind of wows us when somebody does what we're supposed to be doing. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In it so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. And this is reference to the grace of giving. And verse number 7 says, therefore as ye abound, and he kind of compliments them here, abound in everything. It says here, in faith and utterance, and he's kind of commending them on some things here, in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. See that ye abound in this grace also. And again, this is this grace of giving. Verse number 8, and this is where we're going to kind of hone in a little bit on tonight. And I just want to encourage you, the Apostle Paul here, writing under the inspiration of God, he's exhorting the church at Corinth. And he commends them for some good things that they had done, several good things that they were doing. And he instructs them to see that ye abound in this grace also, okay? And again, it's one thing to have a good church, and I think you have a great church here, but you know, as a pastor, you know, we always want to be watching and trying to shore up our weaknesses and so forth. And the Bible says here, abound in this grace also. And not every church has this mission stuff down. A lot of churches are doing a token of what could be done in the area of missions, okay? And I'm proud to see all the missionary boards and to get the good reports of how your missions program has grown in proportion to your church. But I'm going to tell you something, we're just scratching the surface on what could be done. And that's why these conferences are very, very important, okay? And just to keep us encouraged in the right and headed in the right direction, okay? And again, Paul realizes that the church at Corinth is like many churches today. They wouldn't understand why they should personally give to mission. So in verses 8 through 15, we're going to read down through here. It says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. And again, we make our commitments on the faith promise cards. We break it down by the week and give it weekly, systematically, and you may give it once a month, but if you can kind of break it down on your card, and again, the card is just simply to let the church kind of know how much money's been committed so the pastor and others can plan on how many missionaries to come through and so forth. And it says the performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, and again, this willingness, this voluntary offering here, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Let's pray. Father, we love you now. I pray you bless the reading of thy precious and holy word. And Lord, speak to our hearts in the next few moments, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I heard an illustration, and they said, kind of imagine that, eternity, maybe it begins here, and we know, it would go on forever that way, and going on beyond, and on and on and on and on and on. And somewhere along the line, there would be one little dot that would represent our brief time here on earth. We might say 70 years, 70 years that the Bible promises, and got Dr. Henderson and others that have lived beyond that. Maybe he was a good little boy, I don't know, but anyway, he's certainly gone beyond the 70 years. But whatever our allotted time is here on planet Earth, in relation to eternity, it's just a little dot. And you have to decide, are you going to live for the dot? Are you going to live for the line that goes on and on and on and on and on and on? Hey, it's very important that we as God's children don't get caught up in this thing of just living for now and living for the temporal things, because temporal things are temporary and eternal things are going to last forever. And that's how important this thing of missions is, because we're literally investing in eternity. And souls do hang in the balance, okay? And so it's serious business. We don't take this stuff lightly, okay? But I want to give you tonight some reasons why we should give to missions. Some reasons why we should give to missions personally, okay? Let me give you some things tonight very quickly. Number one, the first reason for giving to missions is in the last part of verse number 8. And it says here, and to prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. And again, I said it a moment ago, it's easy to say, we love you missionaries. And we do. But talk is cheap. Just us saying that we loved you and be warmed and filled and them getting a little fuzzy feeling, that's not going to help them get to the field. Amen? Are y'all with me? And I'm thankful that when God said, listen to me now, when God said that He loved me, hey, He proved the sincerity of His love by giving His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He that spared not His own Son, but offered Him up freely for us all. Man, I'll tell you, He proved the sincerity of His love, didn't He? He sure did. And I tell you, I appreciate that. I appreciate that so, so very much. A couple of sayings that people used to say were, they used to use these sayings, put your money where your mouth is. Remember that one? How about this one? Put up or shut up. Hey, those are good little thoughts that we ought to think about in relation to missions. And I mean, just missions is that, in talking about missions, it's that important. And listen, missionaries cannot get to the field with us just saying, God bless you, we love you. It takes money to get missionaries to the mission field. And you know, it's sad to say today, but many churches have more emphasis about missions on their church signs than they do in their church services. I want to tell you a little story. And my daughter, Jenna, preacher, got me thinking about my family. I got some pictures of Jenna in here in my Bible somewhere. And anyway, Jenna got married, and I don't know where I did with my pictures, but anyway, Jenna got married back in May, and she's my baby daughter. And Jenna loved to play volleyball, and she's a good volleyball player. We worked with Jenna a lot. I coached volleyball for many years, and so I worked with Jenna. And one day she was about a junior or a senior in high school. I think she might have been a senior. But we had had volleyball practice at our Christian school, and I was all sweaty and scuzzy, and Jenna called me on the cell phone, and she said, "Daddy, what you doing?" I said, "I'm over here at the snow shack getting me a snow cone." Man, I was chilling. I done gotten hot, and you know, it's hard on old fat boys to get out there and try to play ball with the kids. And so, anyway, I'm on the cell phone with Jenna, and she says, "Daddy," says, "me and you tonight, Mama's going to be gone." She said, "What do you want to do for supper?" And I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And she said, "Well, Daddy, I like that honey chicken at Walmart. You know, they have that honey glaze. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That back in there in the deli, they had that honey glazed chicken. And we like that honey glazed chicken." And Jenna said, "I like some of that honey glazed chicken and maybe some chocolate chip cookies, you know, to get one of those little tubes of chocolate chip cookies." That, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about right there? God bless you. Okay, conviction setting in. And then she said, "I like Big Red." How many of y'all know what a Big Red soda water is? Man, I love Big Red. Amen. Helps keep the color in my hair. And so anyway, I said, "Jenna, I'm all sweaty and scuzzy. You know, we live in a small town and everybody knows who I am, and I don't go to town all sweaty and scuzzy. I mean, I'm out making hospital visits. I've got my shirt and tie on, and I look like a preacher. When I dress like a preacher, I act like a preacher. And so I just, that's how I always dress, so everybody sees me dressed up around town. And, hey, Brother Weedo, how you doing?" and all that. And I do a lot of my visiting just going to Walmart. Well, you know, I wasn't going to go to Walmart, and I told Jenna, I said, "Jenna, I'm all sweaty and scuzzy, and I'm not going to go to Walmart." I just kind of left it like that, and I got to driving down the road and eating my little strawberry snow cone in a cup. And I started getting closer to Walmart, and I started thinking, Pastor, I thought, you know, Jenna's fixing to graduate, and she's going to be going off to Bible college. And I thought, you know, there's not going to be that many more times that I really get to do this. And my car, when I got to the red light at Walmart, my car turned in, and I went to Walmart all sweaty and scuzzy, and I went back to the deli, and I got some of that honey glazed chicken, and I got one of those sticks of chocolate chip cookies, and I got a Big Red soda water, 2 liter. And I walked in the house when I got home, and I was setting everything on the counter, and I put the chocolate chip cookies in the refrigerator and the chicken on the counter, and I got a glass down, and Jenna was sitting on the couch, and she was all sweaty and scuzzy too from practicing volleyball, and I poured her a glass of Big Red and I took it to her. And I said, "Jenna, why did I do this? Why did I stop at Walmart?" And she looked at me and she said, "Daddy, because you like honey glazed chicken, chocolate chip cookies, and Big Red soda water." And we both laughed. And I said, "Jenna, why did I really do it?" And she looked at me and she said, "Daddy, you did it because you love me. You did it because you love me." Are you listening to me? Hey, the reason why, reason number one, I give to missions. Nobody twists my arm. Nobody makes me give to missions. The reason why I give to missions is because I want to prove the sincerity of my love to the Lord. I want to just say, Lord, hey, it's a voluntary offering. Lord, I want to get involved in helping reach the world that Your Son Jesus died for. It's the whole premise of Christianity. It's the whole reason why Jesus came to the earth. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And I've tasted, and Lord's good. And hey, I want everybody else to taste and know that He's good too. It's good stuff, isn't it? Number two, the second reason we ought to give to missions is to practice real Christ-likeness. To practice real Christ-likeness. Look at verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 8:9, the Bible says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Wow. I don't know what that means to you, but that means an awful lot to me. The Lord had something, and He willingly gave it up so that we who didn't have what He had could have what He has. Are y'all listening to me? Though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, became poor. He was made a little lower than the angels. Boy, He took a big step down, didn't He? He humbled Himself. Well, I appreciate that. So that I could have a home in heaven and walk on streets of gold and so forth and so on. I'm just thinking, man, good night. Here we are in America. Got padded seats, carpet on the floor. Got to eat fish tonight and lasagna and all this other stuff. Desserts. Hey, we've been blessed in America. I've been over to Mexico and you stop at a red light in those big cities and little kids that live on the streets will jump up on your vehicle and try to wash your window even if you don't want it washed in hopes that you might give them a peso or give them a quarter or whatever, you know. Are you listening to me? Preached over in the Philippines and I did a little bit of checking and get off the beaten path over in the Philippines and I got on a boat over there and traveled over to another island and I was telling Pastor the motel I stayed in had a big dipper and a little dipper for the shower. I was like, where's the shower at? There is no shower. You got a big bowl, you in a little bowl. I never did figure out what them bowls were for. I just kind of sponged off. It's different over there in those different... You get off the plains in third world countries and many times there's a smell and aroma. It's just not... It's not like it is here in the States. And I did a little bit of checking and I found out that the little boys and girls over in the Philippines, you know those little bitty individually wrapped candy bars, the little crunches and Hershey's and all that, they come in a bag full of them. I bought some bags of those and after the services, the little boys and girls would come up and they'd hold their little hands out. And I just give them not a whole candy bar, but just one of those little bite-sized candy bars. And I'm thinking, you know, and they're just, you just see the little glow on their faces and all that. I mean, it's big time. Ran out of candy bars and started giving little sticks of gum. I love kids. And all the little kids would line up along the wall, preacher, and wait their turn. Hold their little hands out. That kind of stuff messes with me. It messes with my heart when I see that kind of stuff. I think, wow. Then you come back over here and those people sing their heads off. I mean, man, you're talking about singing. We're having good singing here this week. Thank you for singing. Thank you for singing traditional church music. I appreciate that old-fashioned music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I appreciate that. But man, you go to these other countries. Man, they're unreserved and they just sing out. Come over here. Man, a lot of people just dead and dry. We've got money and got all these blessings and people in other parts of the world, they don't have anything. Now I'm just saying, I appreciate what Jesus did for me and I just want to be like Him. What did He do? He went about doing good. The Bible says the common people received Him gladly. Hey, I love people that are less fortunate than we are in different parts of the world. I went over to India and preached. They'd line up row after row after row of ladies and row after row of men and sing. And I preached barefooted in India. That was unusual. Flipped my shoes off and preached in my socks. I'd never done that before. But again, we'd go out in those villages and out way out and sheep or goats be crossing the road and just get out there and rainstorm and they got tarpaulins up and you know just makeshift buildings and people packed in there and I thought, wow, man, this is unbelievable. And sing and line up after the church service over, want you to pray with them, families. All I'm saying is, wow, we've got a lot here in America. And I tell you, everybody deserves to hear the gospel at least once. And we hear it all the time. And I just think it's going to be God's not asking us to die for sinners to be saved like Jesus did, but we have the gospel and we have the resources to get the gospel to the world. And it's our responsibility to get the gospel to those who have never heard it. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? If we just be obedient and everybody get involved, you'd be amazed at what we could do for the Lord. And some can do more than others. I remember years ago we were having a missions conference and Dr. R.D. Wade came in and preached a conference for us back when our church was young and from over in Dallas, Texas at Mesquite. And old Dr. Wade told a story about an Indian pastor over in Oklahoma. And he had preached a conference there and how that pastor, that Indian pastor, doubled his faith promise. And boy, God just got my heart that year and I doubled my faith promise that year. You know, I'm the pastor, man. I want to lead the way. I want to be involved in this. God's been good to me. And I just want to be, you know, I don't want to get to heaven and, I mean, at the judgment seat of Christ, man, I just want to see them lined up, people that I've helped reach through my missions giving and through our church and other churches just like yours. Let me give you the third thing tonight, the third reason for giving to missions. Look down to verse number 13 and 14. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, there may be equality. Let me ask you this, is it right for Christians in America to live in luxury while our missionaries live in poverty? I don't believe that. God's blessed me, give me the money to be a blessing to somebody else. I want to keep my money in circulation. I'm a dairy farmer in the past, and they say if you want more milk, more production, you don't squeeze harder, you get more cows. Your production will go up. And as the church grows, man, the missions program ought to be growing with it. Amen? They say money is like manure. If you spread it out, it can do a lot of good, but if you pile it up, it stinks. That's kind of a crude illustration, but it's what happens when you bring a dairy farmer to preach for you. Several years ago, we had had Dr. Lee Robertson come to our church, and we were honored to have him, great man of God, and pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee for 45 years, and baptized 1,500 people a year for 45 years. Great, great man of God. And I think he was 87 years old when he came to our church. And what a great honor to have somebody like that come. And we're out in the country and this small church. And thank God for His blessings on our life and ministry. And we invited other churches from the area to come and hear Dr. Robertson preach. And Pastor Capacity came down from Hot Springs to hear Dr. Robertson preach at our place. And he saw the missions boards, just like you have missions boards here in your auditorium. He saw the missions boards around the auditorium at our church, and he's like, man, how many missionaries do y'all support? And we support a good number of missionaries. And I told him, and our churches were about the same age. We're about 6 months older than Pastor Capace's church. He hadn't been exposed to missions that much, and they had faith promise in place, but it wasn't really emphasized. And they were running about 300, and they were only giving about $8,000 to missions. And he said, man, I need some help on this mission stuff. I see all these missionary boards. Would you come down and help us kind of with our missions program? I said, man, I'd be glad to. My wife and I, we got in our car and we drove and we took some decorations from our conference, you know, flags and things like that. And we just kind of showed them how to have their first conference. We met at Brother Yoshida's house, which was Pastor Capace's father-in-law, and we watched a film of Joe and Tana Collins, and opened my eyes, dear Lord. Boy, a very powerful, moving video, and boy, people were weeping, and it was just awesome. We had a great meeting and coordinated their first missions conference. And he said, well, man, you got me into this. You scheduled the speaker, and, you know, the whole nine yards. So I said, well, let's have Dr. Frank Shiver in. And so Dr. Frank Shiver's a friend of mine, and from Callahan, Florida. He does missions conferences. So I had Dr. Shiver come in. Dr. Shiver, Miss Betty Shiver, she just went to be with the Lord here recently. And anyway, Dr. Shiver's brother-in-law, Miss Betty's brother, passed away. And so Dr. Shiver wasn't going to be able to be there for the very first night of the very first missions conference at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So Dr. Capacity called me and said, man, he said, you got me into this. He said, would you come and preach our opening night of our very first conference? I said, I'd be honored to. So I went and preached the very first night, and that night they had the missionaries come across, Pastor, and present a need. And people in the church were kind of listening, and, you know, they were, you know, to the different needs, and some needed luggage, and some needed a tire on a car, and there was different things. And missionary Alan Copeland, New Mexico, got up, and his need was, we would like a 1,500-watt generator, so when we go on the ranchos in Mexico, we could show gospel films out where there's no electricity on the ranchos. And so I listened to all the needs, and it was good. And that night we preached out of 2 Corinthians 4:18, and temporal things being temporary and eternal things lasting forever. At the invitation that night, there was a lot of people at the altar. And after the service, Pastor Capace's father-in-law came up, and his name was Hiro Yoshida. He was Japanese and of Japanese descent, and they called him Brother Yo. Brother Yo, a little short Japanese man, and he came up to me, and he'd been out in California at a church that had used Faith Promise, and so he was all excited about this, you know, the church getting a hold of missions, and he knew God was going to bless the church because he'd been in a church that had a missions program. It was really, you know, and God blesses those kind of churches, and Brother Yo was excited. And that night, Brother Yo came up to me, and a big old tear welled up in the side of his eye, and he said, Brother Guido, he said, you know that missionary Copeland? I said, yeah, I know Brother Copeland. He said, you know that generator? I said, yeah, he was wanting a 1,500-watt generator, and he said, yeah. He said, you know, in my mind, when he presented that need, he said, those generators are expensive. And he said, I was thinking maybe 12 or 15 of us guys could go together and chip in some money and maybe get him a generator. But he said, the longer you preached, he said, the more I began to think about my generator. He said, I've got a 3,500-watt Honda generator. I mean, it's a high-dollar, top-of-the-line generator. And he said, Brother Guido, he said, the longer you preached, he said, all I could see was my generator in Mexico. And he said, all I could see was Mexicans getting saved out on the ranchos because I gave my generator to the Lord. And he said, I could just see the line getting longer of those who had heard the gospel because I gave my generator to the Lord. And he said, that generator, it's worth a lot of money. I had it out in California. And he was a very successful photographer and had an incredible home in Hot Springs. And he said, that generator's down in my basement. I stayed over the next night, and guess what they had up at the front covered up? A red 3,500-watt Honda generator, and they presented it to that missionary. When Brother Yoshida went home to be with the Lord, he was on dialysis. This is years later. I called Brother Copeland over in Mexico, and I said, Brother Copeland, what about that generator? He said, yeah, we're still using it. We already had it rebuilt once. We're still using it. You know, I can just see Brother Yo up in heaven. That line just keeps getting longer and longer. Yeah. Brother Yo had something that he gave to Jesus one day at a missions conference, and God took what he gave and used it to reach a whole bunch of people. Yeah. He could have said, you know, that's my generator. Both of his daughters, Miss Marilyn and Carolyn, they were both moved. I said, Brother Guido, you don't understand how big this is. Our dad has two things that are his things that he values, his cameras and his generator. Be like me giving my deer rifle or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Be like you giving something that it's yours. You can borrow all my fishing poles, but this is my fishing pole, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can use this, but you can't use this. And he gave one of those things to the Lord. I mean not that others be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality. Boy, I'm glad that night that God got a hold of Brother Yo's heart. And I'm glad he gave something temporal for something eternal. He swapped something temporary for something that would last forever. To me, that's what missions conference time is all about. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you for listening. Wow. May God help us to hear the cries of the lost. May we give ourselves diligently to the task of reaching those who've never heard the gospel. We learned tonight that we're to give to missions to prove the sincerity of our love, to practice real Christ-likeness, and to prevent an inequality. I thank God for those that God has blessed who realize, well, God's blessed me so I can be a blessing to somebody else. Now I want to say thank you to those of you who faithfully have given to missions here at this church. And I'm praying for you, and I'm glad that you've got a hold of this thing. And whatever the Lord impresses upon your heart, I know you'll be mindful to do that. And those of you that aren't involved, well, we're just praying. Pastor and I, we've been talking about it. We just want everybody to do something. Man, I just encourage you to get involved. And I don't even want to try to even give you a hint as to what to do. I just want the Holy Spirit of God to impress upon your heart. I'm not into trying to get people to give a certain amount. I want the Holy Spirit to talk to you and tell you what you ought to do. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, thank you for loving us and for proving the sincerity of your love by giving your own Son. And Lord, help us to have a willingness and a readiness, Lord, and a heart to do what you would put upon our hearts, Lord. And God, we're not trying to get all worked up and put down something, Lord, that would be beyond our faith, Lord. But God, we do want to just get your mind, Lord, on what you would have us to do. And we want to be obedient to do what you put on our hearts, Lord, by faith. And want to trust you, Lord. And God, we thank you for this great church and these dear people. And I pray you'd bless, and Lord, as they go forward in the area of their missions giving. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done here already and what you're going to do in the future. Bless now this invitation, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.